We close this section on instruction with my favorite verse. It is Deuteronomy 4:36. From heaven, God made you hear his voice to discipline you. It's the word instruct. On earth, he showed you his great fire, and you heard his words from out of the fire. Simply put, the immensity of God in and of itself is instructive. Moses is pointing out that it wasn't just what God said, it was the context from which he said it that mattered, as well as the content. Now, we weren't there in the desert with Moses. We were not privileged to hear God speaking from Mount Sinai instructing us. But there's a principle here that we can apply to our own walk, and that is that the frames around the messages we hear are very important for our adrenals and kidneys. Let's be blunt. There are a great number of very small people in your world and my world. And small people talk about small things. Small people frame problems around very petty parameters. As I took a shuttle home from the airport the other day, my driver was quite small. He was listening to a radio station that specialized in a small-minded view of things, and he was not even able to reach the stature of the radio station. Everything that they presented, he turned into a smaller picture with a more petty solution to it. I was quite happy to be done with the ride. By contrast, I spent a little bit of the weekend with one of my friends who is a very big person, has a big view of the world and of history and of God. And the result of being with her is that I thought bigger thoughts. The dialogue between the two of us around a problem where she was stuck enabled me to push my frontier of knowledge one step further. Because she saw bigger God, she brought out of me wisdom that was there and was latent, but hadn't come forth when I was alone in the office. By contrast, at the end of the shuttle ride home, I was not one bit wiser than when I left the airport. I was merely in a bad mood from having to listen to the pettiness of somebody who defines the world around pain and money, or lack thereof. On a human level, it behooves us to choose our friends. It behooves us to deliberately allocate time to expose ourselves to big people, to expose ourselves to those who have a high view of the covenant of God, to expose ourselves to those who have a proven track record of framing problems around God, not around pain, and solving them as sons with the resources of the covenant. The more we do that, the wiser we will be. But in addition to that, there are our own encounters with God, encounters that come in all sorts of different packages. I've had very funny encounters, surprise encounters, little nudges along the road, huge encounters. And I would suggest that you sit down sometime and think through your life's experience with God, making a list of the five most immense encounters with God, the most significant, the ones that had a lot of drama, the ones that were framed around immensity, whether it was the context or the impact on us or the immensity of the message, the newness of it. Intensity has a thousand different faces. So look at your own life. Look at your own journey and identify those places. I recently had a celebration lunch with somebody who had an encounter with God that was immense. There was a truth that came into focus and became a reality for her life. I rather suspect that she will have many other encounters with God over the years. She's young, has a lot of history out ahead of her. But I know that that encounter that we celebrated will always stand as one of the immense ones in her life, and she can go back to that 2 years from now, 20 years from now, 50 years from now, and draw wisdom and life from savoring those points of immensity. God designed His immensity to be instructive, completely apart from His words. Perhaps no other illustration is as dramatic as Ezekiel chapter 1. In Ezekiel chapter 2, we have the ordination of Ezekiel. There's a whole lot of words, a whole lot of information, but before those words could be given, there had to be an exposure to immensity, wordless immensity in chapter 1. Before God spoke a word from Mount Sinai, He demonstrated a great deal of immensity with the fire, with the cloud, with the earthquake, with the thundering, the noise. It was necessary to prepare the people. Before the Exodus, before the word came that now it's time to go, there were the 10 plagues, and the plagues were about immensity. They were about revealing the largeness of God. So tonight, revisit immensity. Revisit the 5 biggest encounters you've had with God. Go to sleep with those stories on your mind. Refresh yourself of them and invite your adrenals and kidneys to reframe tomorrow's problems around the instruction that they extract from meditating on the immensity of God. I bless you, adrenals and kidneys, with being enlarged by pondering immensity, particularly you, the left kidney that frames the issues of life accurately. I bless you with seeing God in ways you've never seen Him, of just immersing yourself in His immensity so that you disdain every small frame that the enemy tries to put around a problem. The resources are there. God has met you, and there are hundreds of other spiritual giants who have chronicled their immense encounters with God. Whether it is scriptural stories or from church history, whether it is your life or people you read about, I bless you with being regularly enlarged, enhanced, and resourced with an immersion, a soaking immersion into the immensity of the God you serve. I bless you in Jesus' name. This teaching is by Arthur Burke from Sapphire Leadership Group.